Welcome to Money and Mindset with Bright and Brian, a podcast that explores how good financial habits and positive psychology can help you find greater happiness. I'm Brian Ford, head of financial wellness at Truist. I'm joined by my co-host and friend, Bright Dixon, Truist's resident expert in positive psychology who helps people find purpose at work and in life. Hey, Bright, how are you doing today?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing really well, thanks. The topic we'll be discussing today, rebalancing your portfolio and your priorities, is such an important one, especially for long-term financial well-being. We all need to take time to look at our investments and rebalance our asset mix to help maximize results. This idea and those same principles can also be applied to how we rebalance emotionally for our well-being.
That's what I'm most excited about. I think there's definitely a crossover and one that I haven't given a lot of thought to, so I'm excited. But first up, we'll talk about our finances, specifically why we need to rebalance and why diversification is so important. We'll talk about asset classes, investment strategies, and the importance of working with a financial planner. You ready to go, Bright?
Let's do it. In this episode, Brian and I are talking about investing long-term for retirement and the need to rebalance your financial portfolio and how those same actions can be applied to our everyday priorities. First, let's focus on the financial side of the equation. Brian, why don't you start from the top and help us find the answers to these three questions? What does it mean to rebalance your portfolio? What is an asset mix? And what about diversification? What is all that?
Great questions. When it comes to investing for retirement, let's start with rebalancing and what that means. Rebalancing your portfolio it's more important than people think, and it's a key to smart investing. Now, you may have heard people say the trick to investing is buy low, sell high, so that you can make money. Well, I'm more of a long-term buy and hold type guy, but the cool thing is that rebalancing your portfolio once a year can help with this. But before I dig in, I want to say that today's podcast, we're going to be discussing basic ideas and tips, but for a more personalized approach, we all need to find a good financial planner who can help us with our unique needs.
Yep. Great point, Brian. A financial planner will help you create your own personalized plan that's just for you.
But for our purposes today, we'll talk in general terms. So when we think about rebalancing a portfolio, it's the idea that you have already decided with the help of a planner what assets are right for you. This is called your asset mix. And throughout the year, some of these assets will go down in value and some will go up. Totally normal. However, now your asset mix is not correct, so we need to rebalance back to the originally decided upon asset mix.
Okay, but how do I know what asset mix is right for me?
Yes. All right. So let's take a step back and let's talk about that for a minute. So there's two main levers that we're going to work with when deciding the right asset mix. First is your time horizon. Second is your risk tolerance.
So time horizon is like how many years you can and want to invest. And risk tolerance has to do with like the types of investments you're comfortable with.
Yeah. So your time horizon is how long you plan to hold your investments before you need the money. And your time horizon will help you decide how much of a certain asset class you want to invest in. Risk tolerance, on the other hand, it looks at how much risk you are comfortable with and how aggressive you want to be. Some assets have more risk than others, obviously. And generally speaking, the longer your time horizon and the higher your risk tolerance, the more aggressive you can be. On the other hand, if your time horizon is shorter, your risk tolerance is lower, the less aggressive you should be. So once you've got your portfolio set up with the right assets based on your time horizon and your risk tolerance, you'll want to double check that your portfolio is properly diversified. We've talked about this before on the show, but diversification, it's so important. It just means that you have a variety or a diversity of assets. So in other words, it's best not to have all your assets in only a couple asset classes. You want many different kinds. You'll want stocks, bonds, commodities, and more. Okay, going back to rebalancing. Once you have the right properly diversified asset mix based on your specific time horizon and risk tolerance, Bright, I mean, if we've done that, we should be feeling really good because that's the majority of the work. That's the tough stuff. But let's pretend we've done that. Now we just need to rebalance once a year. We want to look at our portfolio every year to see how the assets within our portfolio are doing. And it's likely that we'll find that because some assets have gone up in value and some have gone down, our asset mix is now out of whack. So our natural tendency is to invest more in those assets that have done well, maybe feeling a little greedy, and stay away from the assets that have underperformed or shrunk, possibly a little fear. But guess what?
That's not right. That's not the thing to do.
No. Well, I would just say we need to be careful about investing with our emotions. More specifically, we need to watch out for greed and fear. And this is why we set up systematic strategies like rebalancing. Investments that have done well throughout the year may now be overvalued, and so it may be time to sell a portion of those and invest a little more in the ones that haven't done as well. By not overthinking it and keeping emotions out of the equation, we just need to rebalance. You'll want to get back, you know, to the right asset mix that we've already decided on. And this means selling some of the assets that have done well and buying some that have underperformed. And, you know, as a rule of thumb, we recommend rebalancing once a year, usually at the end of the year.
Okay. So what if I don't know what type of investments are right for me? You know, hypothetically, Brian.
For a friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where a financial planner comes in. A financial planner, they're going to tailor the right investments to your specific time horizon and risk tolerance. Most financial planners, you know, they're going to recommend having a diversified portfolio that includes the main categories of investments. In fact, Bright, let's take a minute to run through these main categories of investments just to make sure we're all on the same page. So let's talk about stocks first. It may surprise people to know that the category of stocks, it isn't just a one-size-fits-all kind of stock. Instead, stocks normally fall into five main subcategories, and we'll want to consider having a mix of all the categories in our portfolio. To begin with, there's U.S. stocks and non-U.S. stocks. Within U.S. stocks, you've got large companies, you've got medium companies, and small companies you can invest in. You know, people try and get fancy every once in a while, and these are sometimes called large cap, mid cap, and small cap. Then you also have non-U.S. stocks. Here you have developed companies in developed markets, and then you've also got emerging companies kind of just getting going in emerging countries. So that's stocks. Now, let's talk about real estate. So, Bright, you know, we can invest in a rental home or an office building or an apartment complex, but for most of us that want to invest in smaller chunks of real estate within our retirement portfolio, we will want to use something that's called a REIT. A REIT, R-E-I-T, just stands for Real Estate Investment Trust. All right, another asset class is commodities, sometimes forgotten about. Examples of commodities would be gold, silver, and other natural resources. This category also includes the companies that work to procure or work with commodities, such as mining companies, even transportation companies that transport the commodities like a rail or a trucking company. Then we have an asset class called fixed income. These are our bonds. And there's many types of bonds we're not going to get into today. Just be sure to chat with your planner. And within the many bond categories, there are U.S. bonds and international bonds. We should think about having both. Finally, we have cash. This is the money you've got in your savings accounts, checking account, including actual cash.
Okay, that was a lot.
Yeah.
So here's what I've heard. I've heard that your total portfolio, right? Everything you've got should be like 33% in stocks, 33% in bonds, 33% in commodities, and like a little in cash. So is like that where the rebalancing comes in? Like, do you look at how your assets have done for the year and then rebalance them to fit those percentages? Or like, it seems like there's a lot to balance here. So what am I balancing?
Well, you know, the 33% of stocks, bonds, and commodities, yes, it's one example of an asset mix, but that would not be right for everyone. Again, we all need to work with a financial planner to figure out the right asset mix specifically for us. But having said this, yes, that's a simple example of a person's asset mix. You're exactly right.
Okay, I'm following you, but can you talk a little bit about why you need to rebalance?
Sure. So there's a couple main reasons why we want to rebalance. First, let's use the example, Bride, that you just gave of 33% in stocks, 33% in bonds, and 33% in commodities. Let's pretend that as the year went on, that stocks did poorly. They went down in value. And bonds did really well. They went up in value. And commodities stayed about the same. At the end of the year, your asset mix may now be 20% stocks, 50% bonds, and about 30% commodities. Well, based on your time horizon and your risk tolerance, this would not be right, so there's a need to rebalance. Second, rebalancing helps us bypass our emotional response, and it helps us put in a systematic approach, and that just makes us a smarter investor. I think of rebalancing as like this sneaky magic, because over time, it makes sense to sell off some of the investments that have done well and put more money into the ones that have underperformed. If you get into the habit of rebalancing, you can experience the magic of having a well-diversified portfolio. But remember, diversification and rebalancing do not insure against loss and does not assure a profit.
Right. So how do I get this done? What do I actually do?
Simple. At the end of each year, maybe that's around November, December, schedule a meeting with your financial planner and ask them to rebalance your portfolio.
Okay, that's simple. So many of us have a 401k plan through our employers. Do we need to rebalance that portfolio? What do we do with that?
Yeah, good question. So many funds within a 401k plan are set up to automatically rebalance. So that's super cool. In fact, that might be the case for some of our listeners. But check with your employer or your benefits manager and just simply ask, does my 401k fund or the funds within my 401k, do they auto rebalance? And if so, how often? If the answer is no, then you can just ask your financial planner to help you rebalance it. But one more thing on the topic of 401ks. Some companies also provide access to a financial planner as a part of the benefits package. So if yours does, take advantage of that because they're there to help you.
Oh, that's great. This is such good financial advice, Brian. And I think, I've got some homework to do to make sure that I'm rebalancing. And I really love this idea that rebalancing can increase your knowledge so that you can become a smarter investor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like I said, rebalancing is like sneaky magic, but something that's often overlooked but important.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll talk about how to apply the idea of rebalancing to your priorities and how doing so can help increase your mental well-being. Stay with us.
We've been discussing the reasons why we need to take time every year to rebalance our financial portfolio. And now I'd like to talk with you, Bright, about how we can apply the principle of rebalancing to our life and our mindset.
Yeah, it's an important discussion, Ryan, because I think we need to be clear and focused about where we want to go in life and then sort of balance our priorities and the way that we're spending our time and energy to make those things really happen. So just like we discussed with our finances, when we're rebalancing our priorities, we have to consider our time horizon, our risk tolerance, our values, and our goals for our life plans.
Okay. All right. So where do we start, Bright? How do we take a look at what we need to balance out?
So one of the easiest ways is to use this tool called the life wheel. And you might have seen one before. It kind of looks like a pie chart with different colored wedges that represent different areas of your life. So you'll have a wedge for work, a wedge for kids, a wedge for your relationship, your dogs, exercise, spirituality, time in nature, whatever categories apply to you. So you can find sort of generic ones. You can make your own. It's a pretty simple tool. And you can subdivide that life wheel however you want. The point is to create a wheel that encompasses your priorities and values, and then use it as a point of reference to reflect how accurately you spend time and energy in those important areas. You can make one digitally or draw one out on a piece of paper and then fill in the wedges. If you can, draw a circle, you can draw a life wheel.
All right. So I'm thinking of this, and does it matter what colors I choose?
depends on sort of your aesthetics, but no, not really. You can choose whatever colors you like and put whatever in there that matters to you. And once you've sort of created that life wheel, which can take a hot minute, right, to sort of say, okay, what really matters to me? you need to set some time aside to analyze it and compare it to how you're actually living your life. So you need to ask yourself, like, is this life wheel a true representation of my priorities and values? Is there an area that's missing? Is there an area that doesn't really apply and needs to be removed? Once you're confident that the life wheel is accurate to you, you can move on to some more questions. So, am I putting my time and energy into the right stuff that I've got on my wheel? And where is an area or two that maybe needs more improvement? And if what you see on your life wheel isn't really a true reflection of what you're doing with your life and doing with your time and energy, then take the time you need to rework it.
Okay. All right. I think I got it. So the life wheel, it can help me see all of the areas of my life kind of visually so I can find a good balance. And I think the idea is I want to be careful about not being too heavy in one area. So I can't be like a health freak and put all my time and energy there, but then be in a relationship and have that, you know, not work out. Or if I'm, you know, working a ton of hours on my job, but then are spiritually void of values, that doesn't work either. And I think we all know people like that. And it's not really a well-lived, well-diversified, balanced life.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the wedges in your life wheel, like, they'll change over time, right? Like, the way you're sort of spending your time may change week to week or even over the course of months or a year, right? Like, sometimes we're spending more time with family. Sometimes we're spending more time at work. Like, that happens. It's really about using the tool over time. And there's no right or wrong way to create it, right? The only rule is that it should be customized to you and accurate to you. And it's going to change and ebb and flow over time.
Cool. So I'm visualizing mine. I'm going to do this. I want to do this with my wife, actually. I think this is cool. And in mine, I'm visualizing certain pieces of the pie, different areas of my life are larger or more important, representing more time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see mine. And then, so if my life wheel has like my wife, it's got kids, work, church, health, spending time outdoors, etc., what else can I do with the tool other than look for areas that need more balance?
Yeah, I think one thing, and we've talked about goal setting before, but it plays in here too, right? Like, you've got to set some goals around what you want to improve. So, for example, once you know what your wedges are, you can set goals and make plans for any or all of the categories, right? So for you, Brian, maybe in that like family wedge, maybe it's right next to like your spending time outdoors wedge. And maybe one of your goals is to take a family trip once a year. So since you have kids out of the house, or some of them, maybe it's an important goal because it helps ensure that you and your kids have a way to stay connected. Or maybe because you love to spend time outdoors, one of your goals is to hike a certain number of miles each month to help you stay connected to nature and to your physical health. So whatever your goals are, your life wheel can help ground your values and then work your way towards building your well-being.
Yeah, I love that. And I love kind of this visual representation, because if I'm setting goals, those goals that kind of hit multiple wedges are like, to me, like that's money. Like, that's awesome. Like, if I want to spend time outdoors, my family's important, you know, planning a trip or a goal that kind of encompasses several wedges, I think is time well spent. All right, cool. So we talked about the importance of rebalancing your financial portfolio kind of every year. What do you think the right cadence is for kind of revisiting your life wheel?
Yeah. Again, it depends, right? So for some people, it's a daily check and rebalance, right? For others, maybe it's weekly or monthly. Maybe it's quarterly. I don't know. It sort of depends on the person. And I think you can revisit the life wheel as often as you need to align with your time horizon. So just like it is with various financial investments, some of your goals on the life wheel may be short term and others are long term. And Brian, when we were talking earlier about rebalancing your financial portfolio, you said to remember that your portfolio and asset mix are yours. It's personal. And the life wheel follows the same idea. your life wheel won't look like your partner's or your best friend's or your parents', right? And it shouldn't, because your priorities and values and goals aren't like anyone else's. They're yours.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this in relationship with my wife as well.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fascinating if I kind of did my life wheel based on what I want. Like, this would be my ultimate allocation. And then I kind of said, well, but I'm not really there, and kind of drew where I think I'm at. But then almost separately, I'd want my wife to do one for me as well, and like almost bring some reality to it and make sure that we're kind of on the same page. I like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe, you know, you do one, she does one, and then you do one together, right?
Yeah. It's like one very cool art project.
Yeah.
We get together often and talk about, you know, life and priorities and goals. But once a year, typically at the end of the year, we do come together for a couple of days. We try and get away and kind of reflect on what's going on. And I think this could be a cool activity. I am packing crayons on the next little overnighter. Okay. So if I'm looking at this life wheel, what do we do if we find ourselves out of balance? How do we get back in balance?
Yeah. It's really the same thing you do with finances, right? So you dedicate some time to sit down and evaluate where you are right now and maybe why, right? I think one of the things here too is that, like, we have the best intentions, many of us, and then like something comes in and takes us off of our goals and takes us off of our focus. And it's important to identify, like, for the future, why you get distracted or move away from your goals, and like identify sort of what's working and what's not working. And Brian, when you said you should sell some investments that are doing well and put more money into the ones that aren't doing well, it really struck a chord with me, because like that same idea can be applied to the life wheel. So for the areas where you're doing well, take time to feel proud of your progress and celebrate it, right? That's an accomplishment. Like, enjoy and celebrate that accomplishment. However, for the areas where you're not getting the results you want, you probably need to invest more time, energy, and effort. You've got to rebalance those areas where things are out of sync. So that means you have to shift your priorities, right? Take some from over here and put it over there. And when your life wheel is balanced, like, you're going to feel that. Not just when it's balanced on paper, but when it's really balanced and you're doing the things that you want to do and you're spending your time where you want to be spending it, you're going to feel the benefits in your mental well-being. And you don't have to accomplish everything right away, because again, the cadence for rebalancing isn't once a year like it is for finance. It's whatever you need it to be. So you may be rebalancing a lot more frequently, and that's okay. I think it's even like better, right? Like, don't wait until it becomes a problem. Nip it in the bud and rebalance when you need to. And you know how you said one of the goals of rebalancing your portfolio is to become a smarter investor? Same thing here. One of the goals of rebalancing your priorities is to become wiser about your priorities, your values, your needs.
Yeah, for sure. And when your finances and your priorities are in order, you'll likely feel more balanced mentally and emotionally.
Yep, exactly. And like, living a balanced life according to your own values is really key to happiness and to well-being. And it, you know, it's a thing you're going to do your whole life, but the effort is worth it, right? There's, I think, just like with your finances, like, it's going to apply to everything, and the payoff is really worth the effort.
Yeah. Man, when I think about this concept and the crossover between our finances and rebalancing our portfolio, and then kind of where our time is going and balancing out where our time's going based on what's most important to us, to me, one of the biggest similarities in both is you got to put in the work up front.
Mm-hmm.
So with finances, yeah, you need to meet with the planner. You got to make sure that you know what assets are right for you. Get that asset mix right. But once you've done that, boom, you've got that set. That's your North Star. It's very similar, I think, in life and making sure that we really know what we care most about. We know where we want our time to go. And that takes some time. That takes some reflection. But man, once that's set, again, that becomes kind of your North Star. That becomes kind of your, that's your life wheel. And then you just got to check every once in a while. Are you in balance? Do you need to be doing some rebalancing? This conversation, it's been good, Bright. I mean, I've spent so much time learning about financial concepts like rebalancing my portfolio, but maybe not enough time thinking about how these financial concepts can also apply to my mindset. And I mean, seriously, the idea of rebalancing my time based on what I value is so cool. You know, just like investments throughout the year, some of my life categories, they're going to be overweighted, sometimes for a good reason, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to get back into balance again.
And, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about throughout this conversation is, like, you know, what we're talking about is pretty universal and applies to everyone, but the way it shakes out is so personal, and you have control over it, right? Like, you don't have maybe control over how anyone's stock performs or that kind of thing, but you have control over sort of what you put into every area, and that should feel empowering for everyone.
Yes.
And I think applying these principles of balance and evaluation to your finances and your well-being, it's rewarding, it's worthwhile, and like, there's a payoff. That's it for this month's episode of Money and Mindset with Bright and Brian. We hope you found some great ideas for rebalancing your finances and your priorities. To all of you listening, thank you so much for your time and support. And thank you as well, Brian.
Yeah, thank you too, Bright. Good episode. You can listen to other episodes of our podcast, along with finding some cool articles, some tools. You'll find that at truest.com/money-mindset. Or just do what I do, Google Truest Money and Mindset. We'll be back soon with more ideas and insights that are designed to help you boost your financial confidence. Until next time.
This episode of Money and Mindset with Bright and Brian is brought to you by Truest.